You're listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 441. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome back to the podcast. You are in for a treat today because today's episode is an absolute gem, especially if you're a woman in business, a founder, or simply someone who wants to know the real story behind the glossy highlight reels we often see. I'm beyond excited to be joined with the incredible Elisa Tao, powerhouse entrepreneur, author, and founder of not one, but two thriving digital marketing agencies. Cody Agency, which works in the Web2 space, helping brands with everything from strategy and content, social media, and paid ads, and her second business, Mooning, which focuses on emerging tech like blockchain, crypto, and AI. Lisa's recently released her book, Get Real, which dives into 30 stories of 30 amazing female founders from around the world. And today we're unpacking the powerful truths, surprising insights, and the honest lesson she learned from curating and sharing their journeys. We'll chat about the realities of running a business, the emotional highs and lows that rarely get talked about, and what women really need to hear as they start or scale their own businesses. So sit back and get ready for an awesome episode. Hey, 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 welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Angela. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. I always love bringing on amazing guests, and you are one of those epic humans. And today, though, before we jump into this amazing book of yours, The Power of Truth in Business, when you've brought together 30 amazing female founders, I do want you just to share a little bit about who you are and what you get up to, because the listener out there might not know who the amazing Lisa is. So let's start with that.
Fantastic. I feel like my story is nowhere near as exciting as the incredible women I've interviewed, but I guess I can just quickly give you a quick rundown of where I've come from and what I do today. I actually started my career as a tax lawyer, which if you know me, you would probably not believe it because I'm not great with numbers and I'm definitely probably not cut out for the corporate world, but I started at one of the big four accounting firms and then ended up doing a stint at a law firm and then moved to the tax office and was there for 7 years. And along the way, it was pretty much like the dawn of social media. So that was when Facebook came out and I just became obsessed with the ability to consume content at scale and share content at scale. And so I started a website where it was just reporting news that was happening in the fashion, beauty, and lifestyle space in Australia and around the world. Mm-hmm. And then that just gave me an insight into that digital world. Mm-hmm. I did a bit of a career change, actually. I went from tax to fashion. Uh-huh. So that was quite a shift. And I actually, and it's going to sound so bad, so sorry to my parents, but I ended up taking a couple of days off a week. And mm-hmm. I didn't tell them because they're very traditional Asian parents. And so I don't think they ever thought that a career in fashion was safe enough. So
yes.
I just, as you can imagine, I actually took off time from my job and worked part-time for a bit and did an internship where I just wasn't getting paid at all. But it was at a marketing company and it just allowed me to really see the industry and go, okay, this is cool. This is something that I think I would be interested in. And then that allowed me to do a career pivot. Then I ended up working at Witchery, the fashion company, which was really fun. And yeah, that was a real eye-opener for me because it was obviously something very different to the tax world. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was there for about a year and then I just had this itch and a desire to do my own thing. I teamed up with my then business partner at the time. We said, there's no plan B. We're going to just try and make a digital marketing company work. And there's obviously so many digital marketing companies around at the moment, but back then it was still so new. Like managing a brand's social accounts was like, what engaging influencers, that was still so new. It was like quite an interesting time. So I've been running that for just under 10 years. And then start of 2022, started another digital marketing agency, which focuses on Web3. It's like crypto, blockchain and AI. So that whole space is obviously, especially the AI space, is just absolutely blowing up. And it's been really interesting. Yeah. So along the way, I've done other interesting things, but I'll cap it there before I go too far down a path.
But this is great. So it's like, again, you started in like tax law, then you had to dodge the parents with a separate identity, right? And then you've started not one, but two successful businesses, which is absolutely epic. And as you will know, business is not just about short term. It's a long term gain. We will talk more about that as this conversation unfolds. But yeah, good on you. And I love hearing all the stories of the amazing women that I bring onto the podcast, or men too, because it's just, we didn't get where we're at just overnight. There were different trajectories that we all had to go on in order to then find where we needed to be. So thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, thank you. And I feel like I'm not anyone special, because I think people can sometimes look at people, and I'm not saying that I'm in the public eye, but I do post a lot. And I think everyone out there can do whatever they want to do. And that's definitely something that my parents instilled in me, this, and I don't know how it happened, but they just instilled a belief in me that I can do whatever I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so having that has definitely helped, because that's not that common, especially amongst women. I feel like women, like we, and don't get me wrong, there are times when I doubt myself, but there are, I think so many women are capable of so much, but there's that constant nagging feeling of like, am I good enough? Do I have enough experience? Am I credible enough? So yeah, hopefully this book will inspire women around the world and men as well to believe that they can do anything.
And so speaking of inspired, like I said, you've just finished bringing together 30 amazing women for this book, which you have now, it's live, is Get Real. What inspired you to write it and bring these amazing humans together? Like, why now? Why not 5 years ago? Why not 10 years from now? Why now? Was it so important for you to write Get Real?
I've always been fascinated with women in business and the challenges that we face. And I think we'd be completely ignorant if we pretended that they didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So I've always been aware of those challenges. I personally, and the reason why I actually came to write this book now, is that it was over the Christmas break 2 years ago now, I think it would be. And I was reading the book Glossy, actually. I don't know if you read it, but it's about Glossier. It's like really well written. I think the author's Marissa Meltzer. And it was all about the story of how Emily Weiss started Glossier. And it was like a bit of a investigation into the rise and the fall and the rise. And it was such a good read. And I thought, oh, I love this book. Mm-hmm. What's another book about females, like a female entrepreneur, or either by or on one? Uh-huh. I was looking around. I'm like, there is barely anything out there. I was like, mm-hmm. how could this be? It's mm-hmm. so weird. And then I started looking at the stats, and it was like 8 to 30% of business books are on or by women. And I just found that like actually mind blowing, because think of all the amazing women that are out there doing incredible things. And I thought, you know what? I'm very much like the sort of person that does not like to complain about a problem I think I can help fix. So I thought, you know what, why don't I actually just try and write something that will showcase some of these amazing women. Mm-hmm. And so I was super lucky. I've written two books before. One was called Australian Style, one was called Australian Beauty. And we highlighted in the books, we highlighted people in the industry and told their stories. So I was really lucky to still be in touch with the editor, Talia. Shout out to Talia, who was our editor on those two books. And I happened to see a post that she did on Instagram, because we're connected. And I thought, oh, why don't I reach out to Talia? And she just got the vision straight away. And so I was so grateful, because she is just so passionate about sharing and amplifying amazing women. And so she was really honestly instrumental in actually bringing this book to life. So I'm very, very grateful for that, because as you would know, in the publishing space, it's not easy to get a book deal, especially one at a publisher where it's a big publisher that can help support getting the book out there. So that came about. And then I started looking for the women to interview.
How crazy, like you said, it's like only 8% of books are, is that right? 8% of books are written by female entrepreneurs in this space?
It's crazy. Depending on which market you're in, like 8 to 30% are on or by women. And I thought, that cannot be the case. And then I went to the bookshelf at the bookstore. I was like, oh my God, it's just literally either finance bros, or it's like Elon Musk, or it's like Bill Gates. I was like, where are all the amazing women? Like, it's just quite crazy.
And listen, people who've been in my space know that I'm all about supporting, empowering, and uplifting women. So this always makes me smile. And that's why I don't promote an enormous amount of books. I'm quite choosy. And like I said, but when you were speaking with my team and things like that, I was like, no, man, I like this. This lady's like, she's got heart and she's humble and there's grounding there. And these stories that you talk about will inspire other people who are either listening or I know that you're coming to our conference. So let me go rewind a little bit because you've talked about why you were inspired to write Get Real. But I also know after doing some research on you, how important it is for you to make sure this book actually captures the realities of starting and scaling a business. Because everything, as you said, on socials, you can be posting and it can look very glamorous from the outside, but the inside always tells a different story. And I don't know any woman in business owner or any business owner that I've ever met that doesn't have that inside story that does not look glamorous, right? So what are some of the things that do you feel people don't realize about running their own business that's been even highlighted more without giving too much away in the book?
Thank you for asking that question, because the reason why, even like you can probably see it in the title, I wanted it to be really real, because there was that movement of the girl boss era where I feel like it was so glamorized that starting your own business is going to be fun, it's going to be lots of money, it's going to be raising money, it's going to be wins and celebrities wearing your clothes or your pieces. And it's, for the vast majority of us, it's just not the case. Like, it's really bloody hard 99.9% of the time. And so what I wanted to do was, if I was going to do this book at all, and this is what I said to the women that I interviewed, I said, like, when you're sharing, like, I only want you to do this interview if you're willing to be very open and real about the realities of running a business, because I don't want anyone to go into it blind, because it's like a 24/7 job. You don't have the luxury, and I've been in corporate, and you have the luxury of switching off at the end of the day. When you run your own business, every decision impacts the lives of your teams or your clients. And then that has the flow-on effects with impacting maybe their families' lives if you have to let people go. And so there's an enormous amount of responsibility, and it's honestly not a career path for everyone because it's very stressful. The toll it takes on your life can be quite hard. During the pandemic, it was like so challenging. A lot of us were faced with like not knowing what was going on around the world, let alone in business. I think from that side of things, I really did want it to be something that was a safe space for people to go, okay, this is, if I really want to do this, or if I am doing this, these are the things that I need to keep in mind. We spoke with pretty much every, I think every person I interviewed, we spoke about failure, for example. And I think it's become a lot more acceptable to talk about failure. Whereas I think once upon a time, you know, and I'd say during that, probably that Instagram era, everything had to be so polished and perfect. And I think that personally, I come from that generation where we don't share a lot. And I think there's a fine line between like sharing, but then also like maybe oversharing as well. Like, I think it's like you can keep some things like private, but I think it is definitely great to see people be more openly talking about when things go wrong, because then you don't feel like you're alone, because the reality is you're not alone. But it can sometimes feel like that when you look at social media and you just see everyone kicking goals and kicking ass. And when you sort of peel back the curtains, it's like, oh no, we're all just, it's like the duck underwater kind of thing. Like, just
we're all just trying our best. Do you know what I mean? We're all just swimming. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes.
When you started to go, you went to Talia. I think we've got something here for a book. You then did your research. Like you said, 8 to 30% are only female business owners, depending on the market. And so then how did you then choose the 30 women to be featured in the book?
So it was very important for me to pick a diverse range of industries. If you think about females in business, I feel like we over-index in certain industries like fashion, for example. So I didn't want it to be, and I think there's actually only one fashion company in the book, and it's not even clothing. It's actually the amazing women that founded Booby Tape, which is like, they pretty much created a whole category. But so I really want it to be a diverse range of industries, because I wanted this to be hopefully relevant to as many different people as possible. And then I wanted a diverse range of ethnicities, because there's obviously different challenges. Like, I spoke about having Asian parents. I think that story is not something that is very uncommon when it comes to people with, say, an Asian background. And obviously, different people from all around the world will face different challenges. So I wanted to try and share as many different perspectives as possible. And then I just started reaching out. And I think the vast majority of people that I reached out to were really excited to share their stories and that either not been given the chance before. Some of them actually were so humble and they were like, do I even have something to share? I was like, you have something to share. You're amazing. Like, it's just incredible. So I think it's just also empowering women to say, you have an incredible story, no matter who you are, and you have a right to share it, and you should share it because you never know whose life that could impact. So I've got people from Australia, America, the UK, Israel. So to try, just tried to get a New Zealand. Yeah, so just tried to get as diverse a mix as possible.
Dude, I love that. And what I love is that, again, you've gone deeper. So, for example, without saying, but I will say, sometimes the bro marketers are all the bro marketers. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like same, same. And that's what I love about the book, Get Real, is that you're looking at how you can bring women, yes, together to amplify their stories, but each of their stories could be impacted differently, like you said, on culture, upbringing, do you mean all these things? And that too is a lens that needs to be looked at when you're looking at business, because the way that women can make decisions can be significantly impacted by their upbringing. I mean, that's where trauma starts. That's where wounds start, right? And so those stories are going to be so powerful for people to be able to hear and be able to relate to, right? There's a lot of times that I can go to the bookshop and I'm like, I want it. There's no relatability, right? And this book I feel has relatability, and that's super important. Now, speaking of stories of the women that you featured in your book, Get Real, was there a particular story that deeply moved you or shifted your own perspective? Quick question. Have you ever spoken at an event, felt amazing, got great feedback, and then absolutely nothing happened? No leads, no bookings, no new clients, just applause and then absolute crickets. I see it happen all the time, not because your talk wasn't good, but because most talks aren't built to do anything. That's why I have to tell you about Booked in 20, a powerhouse workshop created by my friend Jacqueline Brooker, who is a certified speaking professional and founder of Any Given Tuesday. Jacqueline has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs turn 20-minute talks, such as panels, guest spots, networking events, into four, five, and six figures of revenue. And this workshop unpacks her full framework. So whether you speak often or know you need to start speaking, this will help you turn your voice into a serious business tool. She normally charges $100 for this particular workshop, but she's joined up with me to give you the opportunity to access this completely free. Just head to the show notes at angelahenderson.com.au, click on podcast episode 443, and you'll be able to access this workshop absolutely free. And watch how your next talk changes everything.
Oh my goodness, how long do we have? There were so many. It's like asking to pick a favorite child. I feel like every story or every woman that I spoke to, there was something that I connected with them on. So it could be the challenges of, say, like trying to raise money. It could be the challenge if or when to decide to have children. It could be failure. Like, how do you get up and pick yourself up again when you fail? And there was an amazing entrepreneur actually in the UK called Ade Hassan, and she created a amazing brand called Nubian Skin. She's got like African descent and she was trying to find shapewear, and this was like quite a while ago, and she couldn't actually find shapewear that fit her skin color because nude isn't actually for everyone's skin color. The thought of nude was way too light for her skin color. And then so it was just really interesting hearing her journey, and she was talking about how she would get like the Pantone or like a deck to try and give samples to her supplier. The colors weren't even dark enough, so she was in her kitchen dyeing the stockings with tea and coffee to try and make them the right tones. And she actually, because there was just nothing like it out there. And this is like, obviously, this was years and years ago before the likes of Skims and things like that. So she started that company, and then she was telling me that one day she was on holiday and she got, I think her parents or her sister was like checking her mail, and then she said, you've received a letter. It looks like it's got the government crest on it, or like the royal crest. Are you in trouble? What is this? And she was like, I don't know. Can you just open it for me? It could be like something to do with tax. And she opened it up and she was actually receiving an award from the Queen.
Wow, how amazing is that?
An OBE, yeah, like a recognition from the Queen for her service to fashion. And like just hearing her story about that was just really moving. And I think we also really resonated because we started our business at the same time. And I think at the time of the interview, we were both going through quite challenging times in our business. And I think we kind of instantly bonded because of that. I think with women in business, there is a natural affinity as soon as you talk to a woman in business because there's a mutual understanding of the challenges that we face. So there's that instant connection and desire to want to help others. I feel like there's immediate connection, which I really loved.
What an amazing thing. Like when you're on holiday, starting to shit yourself, going, am I under tax evasion or something? And then you open it up and it's like recognition from the queen. I mean, that's a pretty special moment to be like, okay.
Unbelievable. She obviously saw a problem that would have faced many other women, and she had no background in starting a business. And so it's just incredible that she just backed herself, believed in it, and just did it. It's so incredible. And women are doing that all day, every day around the world, but they just don't get highlighted for it. So I thought, you know what? I want to change that.
I adore that, not only for you, but also for those women that are in the book. Now, tell me a little bit more about, I'm curious to know, obviously, as a business consultant who has helped thousands of women around the world with their business, there's common themes that I see over the years, whether or not people are in startup, growth, or scale, or even exiting stage of their business. So I'm curious to know, was there any themes after 30 interviews or any patterns that kept showing up across all of their journeys?
There was actually quite a few. I definitely want to talk about the topic of failure because I feel like that is something you will experience failure, whether it's in your business life or your personal life. It is just a guarantee in life, but people are so scared of it. And one thing that I really noticed about these incredible women that I interviewed is they weren't scared of it at all. It's obviously not the most comfortable feeling to fail. It wasn't something that they let get. It didn't get them down. I spoke to Christina Carlson, who founded KKK, and her business, it was so high profile. And so that is dealing with the, and I don't even want to call it failure, but dealing with the collapse of your business on such a public scale. And she has since started another business and is still out there helping people chase their dreams. And I look at her and I was like, she's just got such an amazing attitude. You could easily just go, my business hasn't worked out. I'm just going to go and hide and just not do anything else or just go and work for someone else. But I look at someone like her and she was sharing so openly about that. And so I just found the talk about failure was really refreshing. I also wanted to touch on motherhood as well, because I feel like that's something that was quite interesting. So there was an amazing scientist, Dr. Amy, and she was really struggling to get pregnant, and she ended up creating an at-home fertility test. So when you go and test your levels for fertility purposes, obviously when you do the test, that is your reading at the time and your levels at the time, but the next day it could change, the next hour it could change. So she created something at home, and during that whole process of creating and starting the business, she got pregnant, which was like amazing because she'd been trying for years. And then she went to Silicon Valley to go and raise, and then she was told the fact that you're pregnant is a liability. You just come back and raise another time when you're not pregnant. And she was like, what the hell? Like, I've been trying so hard to get pregnant. I now have created this business and I'm creating life, and I've been told that it's going to be seen as a liability. So that was, I think, that whole concept and discussion around motherhood was interesting too, because like even Michelle Battersby, who headed up Bumble in Australia, and she's got an amazing tech app called Sunroom now, and she was saying like she actually has openly talked about having an abortion. I think she had two because she wanted to put her career first and she thought that would slow it down. I think men probably don't realize the impact it has on women and their careers, like either deciding if they should even have children, and then if they do, it's like when. And it's very different when you're a founder because you can't take 9 months off and go on maternity leave. It's like if you're not working, then you're it's like your business might collapse. I've got one little boy, but I put off having children. I wasn't even sure if I wanted to have children until really late because I was worried that if I had a really bad pregnancy, would I even be able to work? Like, what would happen with the business? And then I pretty much didn't take any time off afterwards because I couldn't afford to take 9 months off to spend time at home with him. But it's such a big decision when you're a founder, and I think a lot of people don't realize the impact. So there was like motherhood, and then obviously like resilience, like just being able to keep getting up again And there's an incredible Dr. Annie McCauley. She actually had a traumatic brain injury. She was a ski instructor. A ski fell on her head when she was teaching skiing, and she had to learn how to speak and walk again. And based on her experience with that, and her daughter actually was struggling to speak when she was younger, she's created this amazing product called Talkie Play, where it helps children who are struggling with speech, because she experienced herself having to learn to speak again. But to come back not only from a traumatic injury like that, but then to
Create a product, and that is so cool.
that's these stories are incredible, but people wouldn't know about these amazing women unless someone highlighted them. So I just thought, I have an ability and an opportunity to do that. So I thought, why not do it?
Oh gosh, good on you. Now, one theme though that I feel is a thread between the failure, the motherhood, the resilience would have to be their mindset.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, resilience, but it's like they kept showing up regardless of what was pushing them down. They had the grit. They knew that it could just be them and them only. And I often say to people, is nobody's coming to save you. They understood that somewhere deeply rooted. And so, what are your thoughts about the women and their mindset?
Oh, like phenomenal, like actually phenomenal. It takes a certain type of person to run your own business. Like,
One
you have
minute.
to have a little bit of craziness in you, I would have to say, because it's like brutal. Sometimes I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? I must be like a masochist, because it'd be so much easier to just go and work for someone else and have way less stress. But I think if you're lucky enough to be the sort of personality where you can, then it's so rewarding. Like, when things, obviously, it's very hard when things don't work out, but when you see your team grow, or when you see clients win and you can impact their life and their businesses, that is so exciting. But you're so right. Like, when it comes down to it, you need to be prepared to pick yourself up every day without a joke. You will face challenges every single day. And if you're not strong enough to do that, it's going to be very hard. I myself personally invested. I have an amazing therapist, and that's really helped me. But yeah, these women are incredibly strong, like incredibly strong. And I think you don't just have to be strong to be a founder, but to be a female founder, that takes a very special type of strength.
100%. And that's where I talk about generational change. And I talked about a couple of weeks ago, my daughter's 12 and she already has a performance and mindset coach. And the average friends of mine goes, why would she have that? Like, why does she need that? And I was like, it starts now, right? Like it start when they were little, talking to them about you got to keep going, all those types of things. But it's not a coincidence. She plays for six different elite basketball teams. She was one of only 10 out of the state of Queensland to get chosen to represent the Queensland team, et cetera. But it's like it didn't just start from nothing. She was exposed to those conversations at a young age. And I think it's very important. Yes, we are in a position where we can afford a performance and mindset coach to be able to work with her. I get that as a privilege. But regardless if it's a mindset coach or whatever, the importance of the language that we are talking to ourselves as females and what we are demonstrating to our children, I think will have a knock-on effect for years to come. So that mindset part is just such an important piece for me. I thought that would have been the case that they would have had a very strong mindset, but yeah, I just didn't want to assume that.
Yeah, it is very interesting that you bring that up, because I would definitely say, from a mindset perspective, to survive in business, you just have to have a strong mindset. But there is definitely an element of even doubt with some of them. Like, when I was asking to interview them, they're like, do you really want me? And I was like, yes, you are way more incredible than you realize. And I think there is still that doubt that a lot of women have. Like, we just lack the confidence to put ourselves out there like men. And so I hope this book encourages anyone out there to know they can achieve their dreams. And that is something that I did want to do as well. When I was picking these women, I didn't want to be interviewing Nepo babies who have access to connections or money. These women, they're not coming from millionaire backgrounds. They worked their asses off like everyone else. And it's just incredible to see. And actually, one of the women, Dr. Katrina Wallace, she was a shark on Shark Tank Australia, but even like hearing her story, she was like a single mum at one stage when she started an AI business. This was like years ago. And she started an AI business and she was trying to raise money for it. And at the time, she just separated from her partner. So she flew over to the States during school holidays, and she was in a room pitching with VCs with her children in the room. And so it was like, what am I doing? And you know how hard it is to raise for women these days. Imagine back then for AI, like, it was so hard. And she actually turned down $1 million investment in her business because the man who wanted to invest in it said, really love what Kat's doing, want to invest in it, but I don't like the fact that she's got a nose ring in. So if she's willing to remove her nose ring, then I'll invest the money. You know how hard it is for women to raise money. It's like the stats are disgusting. It's like 2 to 3%. And she said, no, thanks. You can keep your money.
100%. Because that's when, if they start to control that, what else are they going to be
Oh.
like? That's just the beginning of a relationship that's not necessarily going to go the way you want to drive the boat, right?
Exactly. And there's so much
Oh.
focus actually on women and what they wear, how they look. No one gives a crap what a guy, like the number of times I see guys rock up to meetings in hoodies, I just think if a woman did that, they would be persecuted.
That's
Like,
me. I wear hoodies everywhere. And I have been ridiculed multiple times over the
yeah.
years. You'll see me at my conference. I will dress up for my conference and I will dress up for other keynote events that I'm at because I want to respect other people's platforms. But today I'm in a hoodie and jeans, you know,
You should
like.
be able to wear whatever you want. No one thinks about a man. Yeah, no one would say, oh, you don't look like you're professional. You're wearing a hoodie. Like, no one would ever say that to a
Exactly
man,
right. But
but
people
female.
judge. Do you know what I mean? There's this, again, the perception that women have to be a certain way. So no, like I get it, but I go against the grain. I'm like, I'm not. If you, and someone said, you can't, they stopped me having a podcast interview and I've been on close to 200 podcasts now. And they said, sorry, we're not going to be able to interview you because you're not dressed the way we want you
Oh,
dressed. And I
goodness.
was like, well, this isn't a match then because I'm not going to go. A, you didn't tell me that I needed it a certain way. B, you didn't tell me that it was going to be camera. And C, I'm not about to change who I am. Either you like me how I am or not. So we do face those obstacles 100%. Now, this has been amazing on so many levels because it makes my heart smile with happiness knowing that other women have the opportunity to share their voice and their wisdom that will only have a ripple effect for other women in business. So tell us a little bit about where can listeners connect with you, but also where can they buy the book?
The book is available in store at like most major booksellers. It's also available online at Amazon, Readings, Booktopia. You can grab it on any of those channels. And then I am active on LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok. If you've got any questions at all, please definitely shoot me a DM anytime. More than happy to share any knowledge I have, no matter how, I mean, it is quite limited, but always happy to support women in business. And then if you do get the book, please let me know so I can share it on my socials as well. So definitely tag me. But thank you so much, Angela. Like what you're creating is so important. And I just really appreciate and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to talk about Get Real. And yeah, there's some amazing women in there. So feel very honored to be able to share their stories.
No, thank you so much for your wisdom and just being brave enough and having the courage to reach out to these people and pull it together. So thank you. Now, I've got one final question though. Looking back on your business journey, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
So many things. So many things. I think I didn't realize how hard it would be. The funny thing is, though, I do wonder if I knew how hard it was going to be, would I still do it? And I think that's something that's quite interesting. I think a few of the women who spoke about that. And I think knowing what I know now, even though I know the ups and downs, I would still do it because it's made me the person who I am today. And I'm infinitely stronger to the person that I started out with like 10 years ago. I look back at that person and they were not confident. They didn't know a lot. I would say that they were not resilient. Whereas because of all the things that I've gone through in business, and look, it hasn't been easy. Like I said, it's hard 99.9% of the time, but it's made me into a better person. And so for that, I'm very grateful.
Oh, I love that. Yes. Then the hardness, it's there. I don't care what anyone says. It is hard. It
Ugh.
is bloody hard. But I often talk about with my clients the moment. There are times when you have the moment and you just go, ah, this is what I did. Do you know what I mean? Like this. And so, and I remember the moment for me, one of my moments, and I have different moments, but this year was when my son, he's almost 16. He loves the Golden State Warriors. And so I was like, before he finishes high school, I want to be able to fly him to the US, take him to the Golden
Oh.
State game. And it happened. And I just remember sitting there. Now, granted, let me make it very clear. We were in the nosebleeds. We were like second to last row, but I was like, we are here. The tickets may have cost us $2,000 to be in the nosebleeds, but we are here, brother. And I just remember going, this is why we do the hard yards. This is because when you have the moment, yes, money comes in, and I'm very grateful for money and I love money, but money is no longer the driving force. the moment things change. I always say to people, you'll know when you hit the moment. You'll just feel it in your bones. And it's a pretty powerful thing when you hit that moment, when you're like, I made it. Because what I made it for me looks different. What made it to you looks like, right? So I was like, when I'm sitting at that Golden State game, I was like, we made it. All those tears, all the hard work, and the hard work continues. We've just started our third business. These are the moments that I've worked so hard for.
Yeah, I love that. And if you get one chance in life, like you kind of don't want to just cruise through it and not be like you pushed yourself out of your comfort zone as much as possible. That's such a beautiful story. And I'm so glad you got to experience that.
So it was epic. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I also can't wait to give you a big hug in person when we see you at the conference. But for now, I hope you have a beautiful day, an amazing weekend, my friend. And for those who are out there listening to this, run, don't walk to get your copy of the book, Get Real. So thanks again, Lise.
Thank you so much, Angela. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.